David Braun is a specialist in ecohydrology, which is the study of the interaction between flow patterns of rivers and how they work as ecosystems. Braun conducted the Sound Science Review and has a long background in studying the impact of geomorphology, or water flow, sediment load, and its effects on habitat and subsequent ecology of rivers. Braun describes impacts on tributaries as unavoidable when there is a change in the water flow of the main channel.
Unless you sit in a valley or any other river valley and you look at where the streams come in and the other rivers come in, the other rivers don't come in over waterfall and don't come up out of a hole in the ground, but they're where the rivers meet, where there's a delta, as we say, the river, the tributary, comes in at the same exact elevation as the river. And so if something should happen to the main stem river, say something that scours it down so its bed is deepened, the tributary at that point will find itself elevated above the main river at the mouth where the two meet. And what the tributary would do at that point is erode down. It would start eroding until it was, as we call equilibrium, that it is in balance again in terms of its elevation and its slope is matches up with that of the main river that it's flowing into at the point where they meet. And once you start eroding down at the delta, what happens is that that erosion actually starts traveling straight up the tributary itself. If you erode down a little bit at the bottom, well, then the next part of the stream, the tributary, a little bit further up, is suddenly too steep and too high relative to what's downstream from it. So it starts eroding, and this just radiates all the way up watershed.
Braun says during his review of two aspects of one study, he didn't see an adequate appraisal of what changes in water flow on the Susitna would have on the erosion of the tributaries.
If you are looking at the Susitna and you're asking what might happen with the dam put in place, if there is any chance that the dam would change how much sediment is either eroded from or built up along the main stem channel, then you would expect to see changes in the tributaries. But the study plan doesn't look at that. What it does instead is it plans to collect measurements on how much sediment is coming out of the tributaries today, and assume that that same rate of sediment coming out of the tributaries will continue after the dam is put in place, so that there'll be no change in the way the tributary interacts with the main stem river. Because that is an incorrect assumption, they left a big hole in their study from a scientific standpoint.
Another section that Braun describes as critical to understanding how water flow changes alter the habitat for spawning salmon was understudied. One AEA study calls for a mapping of the river's features such as rocks, rapids, riffles, pools, and other large landmarks, and hopes to use these to guess on where salmon spawning habitat would be. Braun says it doesn't look close enough that salmon habitat selection happens on a smaller scale.
If you're a fish coming up the river, say a salmon looking for a place to spawn in late fall, the early winter, you're not paying attention to whether you're in a pool or a riffle or a run or any kind of larger scale feature like that. You're looking for much finer scale kinds of things. You're looking for gravel that has the right texture, it has the right flow, it has the right feel that it might be protected from major surges, and it has what we call hyporeic flow, which is a tricky word. It has to do with the way that water flows up from the gravels up into the river from underneath. It's actually groundwater that's traveling in the gravels of the riverbed, and then it percolates up in various places. And this is a very important feature of the waterscape, if you will, if you're a salmon. You need that kind of flow to give you the right habitat for the eggs. So the salmon is looking at a very fine scale, and down to sort of the, you know, a few feet, a few square feet, a few square yards of habitat that's just right for them. And those patches aren't necessarily predicted by the big features of the river, like where are the pools, where are the riffles, where are the runs, where are the sloughs, and things like that. They're much finer scale. And so what I pointed out in the report is that you can't just assume that the big stuff predicts where the little stuff is going to be. You actually have to phrase that as a scientific hypothesis and then collect your field data in a way that allows you to evaluate that hypothesis.
Coalition for Susitna Dam Alternatives member Rick Leo points out that the detailed review in Sound Science's 54-page report covers just a small portion of the studies necessary to understand the impacts of the dam.
Sound Science's report was two subsections of one study, and it was critical to address. There are 58 different studies being done, and each one of those studies has numerous subsections too. This is an overwhelming project, both the dam and trying to figure out what the effects of the dam are going to be.
Sound Science's report, like most of the comments filed on the 14 additional studies, is technical and exhaustive. KTNA will have a look at the other reports in coming newscasts. For KTNA, I'm Lorian Nettleton.